Welcome to a Catalyst for Change podcast, where we are a catalyst to inspire compassion among people, promote collaboration with leaders, and build capacity for programming.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst for Change show. I am so thrilled to be with you today. My name is Lisa Rowe, and I have the privilege of being the CEO for Support After Abortion. You know, Support After Abortion hosts this show because it's our mission to end the demand for abortion by helping to heal those who have been impacted. We believe that to do that, we need three pillars. We need to inspire compassion. You'll hear that today with our speaker, author, so many other things that she's going to share with you today. We want to promote collaboration among leaders. You're also going to hear about that today. And we ultimately want to build the capacity for programming so that the millions of men and women who need help, who are hurting and living in silence after abortion, can find the healing that they deserve. So without further ado, I want to welcome Serena Dykson to the show. Welcome, Serena.
Thank you for having me. It's always so good to connect with you. Thank you.
Absolutely. I'm so thrilled that you're here with us. For our viewers, we had Serena on one of our virtual conferences. She shared her amazing testimony, which maybe we'll go into a little bit today. She's an author, a speaker. She shares across the nation at churches and has recently developed a ministry that complements the experiences that you've had facing abortion and all sorts of other traumas. So Serena, can you introduce yourself to our viewers and let them know a little bit about how you landed in the seat that you're sitting in?
Yes. So I'm Serena Dykson. I'm the founder of She Found His Grace Ministries, and we're a global ministry who, because of my story, I was sexually assaulted at 13 and taken for an abortion. And my story became very public because of the abortionist that I went to. And through that story, we have women who reach out who are thinking of having abortions, and we're able to meet them with grace and love and compassion and get them plugged in to their local community through a crisis pregnancy center. And also we want to get them connected into churches to do the discipleship with them and just really have them loved on. But also we have She Found His Grace Pain to Purpose After Abortion Care Recovery. And it's all online, and we're super excited to be able to reach women all over the world, to be able to walk alongside of them to find freedom after abortion and find their voice and turn their pain into a purpose.
That's amazing. And you actually are doing this like in the midst of COVID. You actually have taken a very progressive stance on how to serve the people that find you. Can you talk a little bit about how you've developed the program and what it looks like?
Oh my goodness. So I really feel like, you know, God was not surprised by COVID, right? He was not surprised. And so I feel like he just launched us during COVID because he knew what needed to happen to serve. And so we actually have our own private app, and we get women into the community group. And then we actually do monthly Zoom calls, and we just, we build that community, that friendship, that, you know, we just are there for each other. Like, we're not alone, right? And we go through a biblical study, which, by the way, you do not have to be a believer to be in our study. We have people that are not believers at all, and it's okay. Like, you know, we share the same thing of a hurt and a wound, and we just want freedom from that. We want a healing balm on our hearts, right? And then after that, we actually walk through a pain to purpose course after that so that we can get you plugged in to where God's calling you, where you might feel that you have a voice. We want you to use your voice, whether it's speaking, whether it's leading groups, whether it's volunteering at a crisis pregnancy center, whatever that is, that's what we want to get you launched into. And it's just, we're so excited about it.
Absolutely. And it goes along with building capacity, because we know so many of the women and men who are experiencing abortion are between the ages of 20 to 29, right? And where are they? On their cell phones, on the apps. And so for you to develop a relatable and relevant approach, is amazing. And you were sharing one of the clients that you have right now who found you. Can you share a little bit more about that experience?
So which one? The one that's the Buddhist?
Any of them. Yes.
Yeah. So we actually have a young lady who's a Buddhist that's going through our class, and we just love it. You know, like we just all have different backgrounds. Some of us grew up in the church. Some of us haven't. Like, it doesn't matter. We just build those beautiful friendships, and that's what it's about. And just figuring out like, hey, you know, how are you doing today, girl, or whatever it looks like, and how we can encourage, like, oh, you know what? Oh, you're going to go to the crisis pregnancy center, and, you know, how we can encourage that. Because sometimes I think when we start to move forward, like, there's always that voice of doubt, like, I don't think I'll make a difference. But we're like, no, you're going to make a difference. Like, God does not waste this. He is turning this into purpose, and we are here to support that. So, yeah.
And it's so important. Can you speak to us a little bit, Serena, about your experience with meeting people where they are and how important mm-hmm. it is to not push? You know, we have over 200 programs in the abortion healing movement. 95% of them are faith forward message. Mm-hmm. Can you talk to us a little bit about what you've learned and why you have the approach that you do?
Yeah. So for me, I didn't grow up in the church. So I know exactly how it feels when someone is coming at you and you're like, I don't even know the basics of the Bible. And so for me, it was just knowing, I had a good example of someone just meeting me where I was at. And so, you know, it's like, okay, you know what, we're just going to meet you where you're at. There's no, you know, at the end of the day, it's about planting seeds. I'm not responsible for the, you know, the fruit of it all. It's just planting a seed. And honestly, it's just doing life with people. Like, we just need that community and friendship. And I'm pretty sure that Jesus went and sat with sinners, right? That's what he did. He didn't say, I'm better than so-and-so. That's not what he did. And so we just want that approach of that grace, you know, because that's how I found God's grace in my own life, in my complete brokenness, totally not deserving any of his love and compassion. And all he wanted me to do was stop running and just say, okay, I'm hurting, I'm wounded. And he said, okay, daughter, I love you, and I'm going to lavish you in love. And you know what? That's really what we want to do, is just meet these women right where they're at. So, wow. Yeah.
And there again, just showing your understanding of how important it is to grow with the movement and meet people where they are.
Yeah.
Because what I have found is that if we don't meet people where they are, we end up actually doing more harm than good, mm-hmm. because it's not saying we want to stay there with them, but then they don't get help at all. And so right. I've had people, Serena, say things like, well, then how do they get ultimate healing? God's the ultimate healer. And it's like, I am living proof that he's the ultimate healer. Like, yep. If you knew me before God, I was not who I am today,
right.
But I couldn't have started where I am today. And I feel like so many people have lost perspective of mm-hmm. where they started, and then others never really even knew where they started, so they can't relate. And so right. The way that you are approaching men and women is so important, Serena, from our perspective as support after abortion. So kudos to you. Huge.
Oh, well, I'm telling you what, like, you know, if we go at people, they're not going to get that healing, and they're not going to be impactors, you know, because they're going to shrink back. And that is not what we're called to do. We're not called to plow over people. We are called to just love them. We speak truth. Like, we definitely speak truth, but it's that grace factor. And I think so many times that grace is just missed, and it's so needed. It's so needed. So yeah, I just, for me, it's just knowing where I came from and how I would respond if someone treated me that way. And it's like, no, we're just going to love you. So
it's so yeah. good. And you use the word grace, which is such a good mm-hmm. intro to your book, She Found Grace. Is there something in particular behind that name that you could help us better understand what it means?
Yeah. So for me, you know, finding God's grace, it was, you know, I had, like I said, I was sexually assaulted. I had an abortion. I had so much shame, so much guilt, and I just felt like I was not worthy enough to be in front of God. Like, I just felt like very exposed and very raw, and just, I didn't know how to receive love. I didn't know how to receive that love. And you know, just one night after a heavy night of drinking, and it's so funny, like I was literally too intoxicated to drive home, and no one would come and get me, and just crying out to God and saying, you know what, I have no one but you. And God meeting me, he didn't reject me. He didn't turn away from me, but he met me right in my car and lavished me in a love that I had never felt before. And that was the grace of God. And every time I wanted to run, all these things, you know, God's grace was there to just meet me and just say, just take my hand. I'm a gentle father and I love you. And I just want to take you on this journey. And, you know, it was finding God's grace that really helped me find freedom in my life.
Wow. And, you know, you mentioned, Serena, about a little bit about your own testimony. It's been my experience as well, having been a therapist in this movement and also in the sex trafficking movement, that sexual abuse is at the cornerstone. Yes. A lot of other things, you know, create that dysfunction, but there seems to be a thread, a very strong thread of sexual abuse as a vulnerability to abortion. Can you share a little bit more from your experience, how that might have cultivated a vulnerability for you?
Yeah. So I think for us, you know, our family, my parents were in a crisis. Like, they just wanted help. Like, you know, there's all this shame that comes along with sexual abuse. And so, you know, you have a 13-year-old who has been sexually assaulted by a family member. And, you know, society says, that baby, this is not good. You know, this is bad. And so, you know, my parents, just, they were looking for help. Like, how, you know, and you have to remember too, there was trauma in their past as well. And so you have that unhealed wound and just that shame and guilt that's rising up in them. And so then, you know, when someone says, what about abortion? That seemed like that was the answer. And really, it was the perfect storm. I like to say, because the abortion clinic was like, okay, bank, we've just made money off of this family. And, you know, just separating me from my parents and all the things. And then my mom having a nervous breakdown, you know, because she couldn't help me. And so, you know, the abortion industry is just making money off these parents. And we really need to be able to come alongside of them and just say, hey, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay, because this is not going to answer, fix a rape. It didn't unrape me. It just added more trauma to our family. And so I think that's what people need to understand. And I think for my story, there's misplaced compassion. And we really need to understand, like, no, like, we, you know, my family needed counseling. They needed support. That's what they needed. They didn't need abortion.
Yeah. And to unpack your statement earlier about your parents having unhealed wounds, that's why we're in this movement. We really believe that in order to really, truly be a pro-life community, be a culture of life, we have got to bring healing to generations, right? We were talking before, four generations of legalized abortion have lived in our country. We have great grandmothers that are still living and walking and breathing on this planet that are encouraging their great granddaughters and have encouraged all of the generational lineup into that point. But I can't say that, Serena, your parents were like, they woke up that day and said, I can't wait for my daughter to get raped. And I can't wait to take her to the abortion clinic. I can't wait to watch her struggle with substances. I can't wait. That wasn't your family's story. No. Unpack that for us. Like, how do our wounds impact future generations?
Right. So for my mom, you know, she had been sexually abused. So this triggered all sorts of things for her. And so here she's just living in how that shame and guilt for her. And now we're another generation, you know, another generation impacted by sexual abuse. And so all she could think of is, you know, her own hurt. And you know, she deserved counseling. Like, that's what she needed. And so now, you know, we have another generation that's been affected by sexual abuse, and now we have an unplanned pregnancy. And so, like, the other part that I love about She Found His Grace Ministries is we also have 27 other community groups that we can plug people in, whether it is someone that's walking through sexual abuse, abortion, marital issues, whatever it is, we can get people plugged in because we want them to find that healing and that freedom, because that does play a difference in how people will respond to a crisis situation.
Wow. And that is so, what you just said is like money, like gold, because the way you just described, your mom didn't ask to be sexually abused, but without healing, she saw herself in your panic, in your situation, and only went, she was defenseless. I mean, essentially, she didn't have any tools in the tool belt that you now have, right? To encourage the next generation. And so how do we as a culture better understand that piece? How do we look at a woman like you, Serena, look at your parents and say, you know what? They're not the trash on our shoe. We're not going to scream profanities at them. We're not going to diminish them as people. What can we do differently?
So I think for us, like, you know, and I've seen this at the abortion clinic before when we've seen young girls being taken in, and I always cringe when people, you know, they're shouting something or whatever. And I'm like, did you just not hear what they just said? Like, dad just said, daughter was just raped and you just blew it because of your words. And so, you know, I think we need to be in the front lines of saying, this is what we offer. You know, I find in churches, we don't talk about sexual abuse and we don't talk about abortion. And so, you know, that's why I feel like my story has been such an impact for people, because we've just been sitting in the church pews or in the community, not talking about these things. And so bringing awareness and saying, hey, you know what, you're not alone. And you know what, we have this community for you. I remember asking about the support as a, for sexual assault, or talking to some parents whose kids were sexually abused and trying to find them support, and there's zero support for them. And they're just like, I need help. Like, I need this refuge. I need someone to say, you know what? I understand your pain. I hear it. Let's unpack that together. And so for us, that's really kind of where our hearts are at, to make sure that we are able to unpack that pain and really let God heal that pain. And yeah, that's our heart.
If we are going to be a catalyst for change in this movement, right, we have got to learn from people like you, Serena, from your parents, right? We've got to hear what you just shared with us. So if there's people listening right now and you feel challenged by this message, I would hope that you could bury in a really good way what Serena just shared with you, that it is about these early trauma experiences that then just explode their ugly heads when life's pressure squeeze, right? And so I think it's so valuable that as a pro-life movement, if we are going to change things, that we do exactly what you said. We pay attention to the people. We be careful what we're saying. Our messages need to bring hope and healing. And then, Serena, the last piece is, like, if that experience that you talked about, like the dad said, my daughter just got raped. So they walk inside the abortion clinic, like, and they walk out with the little brown bag, with what we're hearing is called the home abortion. I mean, how do you tell that sidewalk advocate or that pro-lifer or the person that reads the news that says, oh my gosh, abortions are up this much throughout COVID, or they just passed another law allowing an extension for abortion? Like, what do you tell that person?
So for me, you know, I think we need to understand their stories. And if we can understand people, and once again, it gets back to meeting them where they're at. You know, if we could say, hey, you know, like, I see you, like, I get that. I hear what you're saying. They're going to listen to that, because deep down, that's what people are looking for. They're looking for someone that says, I see you, I feel your pain. And you know what? I have a solution. I want to help you. And, you know, people are going to listen to that. They're not going to listen to people throwing their two cents in. And I just remember the abortion clinic saying to my mom, make sure you walk in quickly because the people outside hate you. And I remember her response of just being so angry, because she's like, they don't know. And I won't repeat what she says. It's in my book, but I won't repeat what she said. And I always remember that when I go out to the clinic or when I'm talking to someone, so that, you know, like, I want them to know, like, hey, you know, I see you. Even when I have pro-choice people, I'm like, you know what, if we can get to the core of really where that hurt and that wound is and unpack that, they're going to respond so much differently than if we plow over. And we can't do that. We have to stop doing that.
Wow. And so, you know, I'm reminded of how much society has shifted with mental health. You know, we used to stigmatize bipolar disorder and schizophrenia. PTSD even was stigmatized after Vietnam, right? There were so many things in our culture. And I saw this awesome commercial at the Super Bowl where they talked about diabetes and how we test. And the message was, stop pricking your finger. We now have drones that are delivering packages to your door, right? Yeah. And so they've now modified to a cell phone that can somehow test your blood sugar. I mean, amazing, right?
Right.
But what we haven't done as a pro-life movement is shift, right? And do exactly what you're saying. We haven't taken the time to understand what's been working, what hasn't been working, mm-hmm. and how to meet people in this space and place. And that's why I love that you've launched an app. You're meeting people right where they're at. Your message is not as much about save the baby, but save the woman, save the man. Let's heal families.
Let's heal families.
Because yeah. That's the reality. That's your story, right?
Right. It's healing the family, right? Like, we all have some trauma. And if we always say it's like a sponge, whatever's in us and we squeeze it, that's gonna go all over the place, right? And so we want to make sure, like, hey, what's in there and how do we get to the core of that? Because that's really, you know, that's really where the heart is of, you know, I think of women that feel unworthy. Well, where is that coming from? And what lie are they believing? But if we can't get to that core, then, you know, she's not going to feel like she's worth being able to be a mom. And I hear that all the time. I can't be a mom. Do you know my life's a mess? Do you know this? Do you know that? And it's like, okay, if we can unpack all that stuff that's under there so that she knows and work on the trauma part, then she's going to, you know, that saves a whole generation. Like, you know, it changes, mm-hmm. it shifts the whole family. It changes the whole dynamics. So, yeah.
And here's something that might surprise people. It might take that abortion experience to enter into a healing program.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We don't like that they would choose that, but you know what? That might be the thing that totally changes their life and turns them to the Lord and whatever, you know, that happens. We see that happen because of that pain.
Yeah. And there might be somebody listening that has done this and maybe subconsciously, unknowingly, they did this where they've put sin in tiers, right? Here's the tier one sin. Here's the tier three sin. Like, tier three is a white lie. Tier one is abortion because it's murder. God doesn't do that. There's grace and mercy for all of us. Right. And we have to treat this white lie the same way and see people the way God sees them, and that we all make mistakes and God will meet us in our mess every single time if we let him. Right. But we discredit ourselves to be his light the minute we show up with condemnation in our spirit, the minute we show up with judgment, the minute we show up non-approachable. I think about what the doctor said to your mom. I mean, she didn't even stand a chance to get help from the people that were on the sidewalks.
No. No, and we know that happens all the time. And I love how you use the word approachable. And that's what I tell my team all the time. We want to be approachable and we want to be the people that are set apart so that we are those safe people. I had a lady share once, she was 17 and her parents said that she had to have an abortion and she did not want to have an abortion at all. And she got to the clinic and she noticed two ladies just praying. They were not making a scene. They were not doing anything but praying. And she knew they were safe. And she got out of her car and she ran as fast as she could to these ladies that were safe. And you know what? Her baby's life was spared because of that. And I share that story with people so that they know, like, be that safe person, be approachable. And, you know, for me, even going, when I go to the clinic, I want to be that person, even to the people that work at the abortion clinic who are the escorts, because you never know when they're going to decide to get out. And I want to be that person that's like, hey, we're here for you. Like, we want to help you too, because we have good news for you. And, you know, if I'm out there shouting, I lose my witness. Like, what's the good news in that? So, wow. Yeah.
And you just really even branch this out further. You know, abortion isn't just about baby. You know, yeah. It isn't just about mom. It isn't just about dad. I mean, you just mentioned it. It's about abortion clinic workers. It's about the doctors. It's about the nurses. It's about the pastor. It's about the therapist. It's about whomever was invited in or maybe not invited into that conversation. It's been systemically impacting our world for 50 years. Mm-hmm. What are we doing without a healing message? I mean, there are people that would say, I didn't personally experience abortion, but like me and my sister, I had a very poor conversation with my sister when she told me she was unexpectedly pregnant. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago, before I knew God, before I understood what it was to be pro-life or pro-choice, Serena, I said, how are you going to raise this baby? Yeah. You know, like, your life's a mess. Like, how are you going to do that?
Yep.
I didn't know what I didn't know at the time.
Right. And that's what I say at churches too. We have to be careful of what we're saying. And in the church, like, I had a lady say, she walked up on these ladies talking and she heard them say, I can't believe she's pregnant again. And she said immediately, she's like, oh, you know, and in her mind, she was like, what are they going to say about me? And so I share that when I go into churches, because what we say at church matters, or anywhere else. Like, you know, if we're not saying, hey, you can do this, like, things seem messy. You might not have it figured out, but I'm pretty sure I didn't have it figured out at 16 either. And what I do know, though, is the church that I went to at the time, they didn't let us sit in just continuing to do what we wanted to do. They said, oh, no, there's better for you. But with that being said, they gave us a baby shower. They helped us find housing. They gave us skills, like all the things that we needed to be able to have our baby, finish high school, start a new married life at 17 years old. And, you know, they did that so well. And I think if churches and other people would just really get that piece of the puzzle of like, hey, you know, because I'm pretty sure we all fall short every single day and life is to be celebrated. Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how the baby got here. You know, like, we can look at a mom and if things are falling apart and it looks like, oh man, life's a mess. Well, how do we help her not be in that mess? What does that look like to help her rise her up? Like, we want to rise her up and let her know her worth. And sometimes I'll get moms that'll say, my boyfriend's going to leave me. And it's like, okay, well, you know what? We would love it if he would stay, but if he doesn't, we're going to help you be strong in choosing life. And he's either going to come around or he's not. And, you know, our heart is to find men that will walk alongside of him too, because there's beauty in that whole family unit. But we also know that men are growing up without fathers. They don't know how to be fathers. They don't know how to do those things. And for us, you know, it gets back to another thing of not shaming them. How do we help them be men? How do we do that? And so we actually have a couple of men that feel very called to our ministry. And so we're excited that we're going to be able to offer that piece of the puzzle as well for men.
That's so good. And we're creating a men's task force right now, run by our COO, Nathan Masirian. And he is like collecting the most profound authors, speakers, influencers in their own community, men who have been impacted by abortion. And together, they're just cultivating an environment that I feel like is going to be able to shine for the world to see. We're going to do maybe a whole series on men and abortion, because Serena, you're right. I mean, yeah, you might be able to help serve the woman, but if he's the number one influencer in the pregnancy decision and you don't have support for him, again, your voice is like depleted. His voice is going to sound so much larger. And it's for the same reasons. It's not that they don't want to be fathers. It's that they don't have the tools, and that all of their junk is like coming up in the midst of all this pressure, and they don't know how to respond to it. They react, and they react the only way they know how.
Right. Right. And that having those tools is so important. We have to give people tools, whether it is on the front end, helping them choose life, or if it's on the back end of recovery, they have to have those tools. They just have to.
You're so awesome. I love this conversation. It's so in line with what we believe. Something you said that I feel like is really important. If there's a clergy member or an influencer in a church listening today, I want you to hear something that Serena said that is invaluable to you. If you don't feel comfortable speaking from the pulpit about this issue, invite somebody like Serena, invite her in and let her be the one, let her be the mouthpiece.
Yeah. Yes. And that's just it, right? Like I spoke at a church recently and the pastor, what he said was, you know what, you might not feel comfortable coming to me, but go to her organization. And so we want to bridge that gap, because we know that there are men and women in the churches who've had an abortion, and they're sitting in there and they're hurt and they don't know where to go. I didn't know about abortion recovery forever. Praise the Lord that, you know, a dear sister said, what do you think about post-abortive healing? And at that point, and I find this a lot in the church, like we think we're really good, better than what we are, right? And so when she asked me, I was like, oh, I'm good. Like I've had an encounter with the Lord. And just her saying, you know, I have to say the Lord prepared my heart up for this point, because I just remember the Lord being like, how can you ask people to go on this journey if you don't do it yourself? And so I went, and it was the balm for my heart that I didn't even know that I needed, and that freedom. And so that's really, you know, what we want women to know is like, okay, you go through it. And you know, okay, if nothing happens, nothing happens. But what if something beautiful comes out of going through the healing process? What if? And so, you know, we just want to offer that for churches. And I know pastors have so much on their plates. And the last thing that they want is someone coming in and busting all those wounds open. But we have a solution. We can help with that. And we want to help with that. That's our heart. We want to serve with that. So.
Wow, girl. So if somebody is inspired by today's message, or they want you to connect with them, or they want to buy your book, how would they get in touch with you?
Yeah. So you can go to shefoundhisgrace.org and you can get my book off of there. You can book me to speak off of there. You can connect with us if you are post-abortive and you're just like, I want to take the next steps. ahead, send us a message for that as well. If you're a husband or a dad or someone that's been affected by abortion, you know, we have ways to get you plugged in as well. But just go to Serena. She found his grace. .org, and you can also find us on Facebook as well.
That's amazing. Well, I am so thrilled, Serena, to be connected with you. I love how God ordained our connection and how you've been so open and willing to participate in all the things that Support After Abortion is doing. I strongly recommend what you're doing to anybody listening right now. We are really grateful for Serena's approach. She truly is on the very progressive end of the spectrum. And when I say progressive, I mean just really approaching people in the way that we believe people want to be approached. In fact, the way the consumer research tells us that people want to be approached. And I'm just so grateful for you, Serena.
Oh my goodness. I'm so grateful for you guys. Like, I just love you guys and all the things that you're doing. And you know, it's just so good to have a partnership with you guys. And you guys are blazing the trail. So it's just an honor for me to be able to connect with you guys. And what I love is that there's no competition. It's just like we're linking arms and we're doing this because we love people, right? And that's why I have so much respect for you guys. I love it. It's so good.
And together we are stronger. You know, Serena, in 5 years, Support After Abortion doesn't want to be providing the program services for clients. We want more organizations to do exactly what you've done. Find what's working and do it well so that more and more people, this 10 people a year is not working. There's too many people that need it. I mean, we put a group online, Serena, and I know you experienced this, and it's full, in 2 days, right?
Oh, girl. Yes. That's just it, right? Like our groups are full, and we don't lack from people wanting to go through healing. That is not a problem at all. And so we know that we want to duplicate. We would be kidding ourselves if we think that we can just do it on our own. That is not going to work. We want to duplicate and keep duplicating and empower. You know, God has a call on so many lives. And, you know, if we don't walk through that healing, you know, we're gimping along and not be able to walk in that fullness. And we're like, girl, walk in the fullness of freedom so that you can be a powerhouse. And I really believe that God is rising up a post-abortive army because we can speak into it, but we have to have that freedom first.
Amen, girl. Well, that is just a perfect segue to say thank you so much for joining us today. We are thrilled that you took a time out of your day to understand what it is to be a catalyst for change in this movement. Serena's challenged us with so many wonderful things. If there's anything in this message that challenges you, contact her. And if you're looking for training in order to do this better, go to supportafterabortion.com and we'll get you connected. Have a great day. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining us today. If you or someone you know has been impacted by abortion, you are not alone. Contact us today at supportafterabortion.com. If you were inspired by today's message, we welcome you to join the conversation by following us on Facebook or Instagram.